So anyway, we're talking about brand new in here the last couple of weeks since the first of the year because it's resolution season, right? Everybody makes a resolution, going to lose a few weight, lose a few pounds, going to read more books, I'm going to, you know, go to church every week, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and pray, and, you know, all those things are great, but resolutions don't work, right? We found out in week one that your change has to begin on the inside. You have to have a new faith. You have to have a new heart. You have to be the renewed man. Our text scripture for this series is 2 Corinthians 5:17. We've all heard it 1,000 times because, you know, you hear it especially during salvation time. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Say new. Say, I'm brand new. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Okay, old things have passed away. They're old, they're gone, they're passed away. That's key to remember because all of us want to get saved, we want to be brand new, but then we want to bring all the old junk with us. All the baggage and all the other things that come with it. Well, it's tough. It is tough, but you don't have to bring it with you. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things, say all things, have become new. We are new. We are brand new when we're born again. And the problem with the church is 78% of this country says they're born again. Okay? Only 7% of that 78% say that they have had a life-changing experience in that time. That their life that they've had a change in their life of some sort. And that tells me that people are attributing their salvation to something else, whether joining a church or being baptized or communion or whatever. And that's not what the case is. God looks at the heart. We're not earthly people having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual people having an earthly experience. So when we change spiritually and we become brand new, things have to change. You have to change inside. Last week we looked at the difference between having a physical meltdown or being led by our mind, will, and emotions or being spiritually led. And you know, everybody knows that emotional person. And it's like, oh boy, here comes a meltdown, right? When we're spiritually led, we have control. Those three things, you have a mind, will, and emotions. You live in a body and you have a spirit, right? We've all heard that before. The funny thing is, all three of those things are fighting for control. And, you know, your physical body, you have physical urges, you know, whether they're sexual or, you know, food or alcohol or you have an addiction, that's a physical thing. And when you succumb to those things, you are being led by your physical body. God wants us, we read in Romans, that God wants us to be spiritually led people because your spirit is what communicates with God. Right? How can you be led by the Spirit of God if your physical body or your emotions are in control? And we read in chapter 7 of Romans last week how Paul, the apostle Paul, struggled with the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. Paul the apostle struggled with that. So don't feel bad like you're alone, right? You're not alone in this. Everybody struggles. And if you've ever had an addiction, and I've had many, thank God I don't have many more, whether it's alcohol or tobacco or drugs or pornography or whatever, those addictions are hard. And when he says brand new, all things have become new, that's a mindset that you got to bend your mind around. Okay, I'm new. And becoming new means you are righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, Paul told the Corinthians. So we looked at a number of things. Today I want to talk to you about it brand new. Today I want to talk to you about brand new words. Because when you're brand new and you're spiritually brand new, your vocabulary has to change. You know, everybody ever said, you got up, you got a sore back. Like, I'm sore today because we had to essentially move people out of two apartments on Friday that had a lot of furniture in them at my job. And it's like basically moving two different families in one day. So I got up yesterday and I was sore. And if you ever wake up sore and you say, man, my back is killing me today. Think about what you're saying there for a second. Think about what you're saying. I wanted you to look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about that for a second. If you can speak death or life over your body, which one would you want? Anybody want to speak death over their body, over their life? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Well, when you say, my back is killing me, that's exactly what you're doing. And it may sound trivial and, oh, come on, Pastor Dan, but really, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Listen to the Amplified version. I looked for it and didn't find it on there, but it says in the Amplified version of Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Bear the consequences of their words. That's deep to me. That's heavy. That's something where, my father, my dad, I love my dad, and all of us boys, he would always say when he was reprimanding us, he'd say, okay, boy, let those words go all the way to the back of your head before they come out of your face, because you're about to make a bad decision in your reply. And he would always tell us, in playing sports a lot, it's always the retaliator who gets in trouble, right? You get hit or slashed or somebody pushes you. You know, the referee never sees that. He always sees the retaliation or the thing that you say following. So he would always say, be careful what you're going to say, because I'm going to judge you on your words. And that will either mean, in my family, it was either life or death. It was your choice. So consequences of their words. It's imperative that we catch that. If we're going to be brand new people, if we're going to be brand new in our life and in our heart, and transformation starts on the inside and we get the physical and the mental under control, now we're going to start speaking life, especially to our children. Especially to our children. We've all had those conversations where it's, oh, you'll never amount to anything, or you'll never be able to overcome this. Or the biggest one I hear from teenagers more than any, I'm not good at math. It's like if you began to say, I am really good at math, and started changing your thinking, because your mouth will control your mind. And remember, you change your belief, change your thoughts, change your life. Okay? That was a weak amen, but I'll take it at this point, okay? So a lot of the words we speak don't have the effects that we want. Sometimes we try to spur people on to action, and we end up just hurting their feelings or doing the wrong thing. So a lot of times it falls on deaf ears. Sometimes we try to encourage or interpret it as patronizing or condescending. And a lot of times, I know for me, I don't even know what words to use to try to motivate people to the next level. A lot of times when you're trying to motivate people, it's like dragging a wagon uphill, and you don't know what words to say. So I want to try to help you today. I want to give you three things that are going to maybe spur your thinking into beginning to pay attention to the words that are coming out of your mouth, okay? In Psalm 19, if you have a Bible, you turn over to Psalm 19, in verse 7, it says this. And listen to David's heart here, because he's really talking about, when he's talking about the law of the Lord is perfect, he's talking about the Word of God as a whole. Okay? So he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So your mind, will, and emotions can be converted. All right? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. He's talking about, listen to the Word of God, okay? And he's focusing on the Word of God. These descriptive words are important. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. He's talking about the word, okay? Yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So if we're keeping the statutes and the testimonies of the Lord, there is great reward in there. Now, then look what he throws in. He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from your presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Then look what he says in verse 14. He's talking about the word. He's talking about sin. These descriptors are important to notice because he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And then he says, sure, right, pure, true, to be desired more than gold and sweeter than honey. And then look what he says in verse 14. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So if we're going to appreciate the word, if we're going to love the word of God, we need to get it into our heart. Would you agree? Where does the brand new change begin? In our heart. The words we speak are directly attached to our heart. So when we get the word of God in our heart, when we're feeding and breathing and living the word of God, and this may be too deep for somebody, but you know what? You have to start someplace. If you want to be brand new and your resolutions are not working and you are dying for change in your life, get the word of God in your heart, because your words that you speak are directly related to your heart. There's a big link between your heart and your mouth, right? And if you can produce good life-giving words out of your heart, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, you are going to produce life. So I'm not trying to condemn anybody or make anybody feel bad, because I've heard it this way. If you are going to, you know, that Tim Hawkins video that we showed on Friday at the thing is hilarious, because he's talking about praying over the food that he eats. Like, Lord, bless this bag of Cheetos and change these Cheetos into like carrot sticks going down. If you're going to eat junk, you're going to not be so healthy. But if you eat healthy living things, you are going to be a healthier individual. Well, your heart works the same way. If you're going to feed it junk. We started watching a movie last night, got about 5 minutes in, and it's like, I can't watch this anymore. It was just too foul. And especially, and it didn't really have anything to do with the night before church. That would have been any night, but it's like, man, this is messing up my mind. If you're going to put foul language and see foul things into your heart, you know what your heart's going to produce? The same thing. You know, you want to stop cussing in your life? Get away from the environment where it is. Stop putting it in and it'll stop coming out. It's that simple. The words we speak are directly attached to our heart. This verse 14, the text literally says, what I speak and what my heart murmurs to itself will be a delight to you, Lord. We are to delight God in the words that we speak. We either confirm and believe what God's word says with our words, or we deny and make excuses for what the word says. The words we speak are super duper important, okay? Second thing we're supposed to do, we're supposed to edify one another. Edify one another. Think about that with your kids once. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Paul writing to a young Timothy, after giving clear instructions about walking in wisdom and giving him clear instruction on what's going to happen, verse 29, he says to young Timothy again, he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace. Everybody say grace. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to impart grace to the hearer. That's our job as Christians, as people of God who are coming together to edify the body, to push people up and over and help them overcome. It's funny. It says, let no corrupt. That word corrupt right there is the Greek word for decay or death or rotted meat or rotted vegetables. Here's a little homework for you. I want everybody to go home, or actually go by the store, buy a whole raw chicken and put it in your trash can for a week. All right? And you'll understand this word corrupt, all right? Because that thing is going to stank bad, real bad. So when he says, let no corrupt or decayed or full of death words proceed, word or speech proceed out of your mouth. He's pretty serious. And remember, he's talking to a young pastor in a big church trying to help him overcome. Edify the saints, he's saying. We're to edify each other, you know. And it's important that we catch the amount of things that we say that come out of our mouth that are killing people. You know, that you know, we want to jest and have fun and goof around, but some of the stuff we're saying out of our mouth, I mean, my wife always says, why'd you say that if Jesus was here? And be like, Jesus was here, I wouldn't even be talking to that guy. I'd be like, holy cow, Jesus is here, right? So it's important to know, pay attention and understand. That's something that I really encourage you to do from today forward. Pay attention to what, you know, and how many times have you said something to somebody and walked away and going, man, should have said that didn't come out right. That didn't come out well. Decay, death, the stink that goes with it, the smell that comes out of your mouth is hurting people. Our job is to edify and increase and help. There's an anonymous poem going around that I read. I put it on Facebook yesterday. It says, when you are disposed to criticize a friend, just remember the beginning's not the end. When within this urge you find, these three questions bring to mind. Is it true? Is it needful? Is it kind? Think about that. Do I really need to say this? You know, people have outside of standing here, I'm usually a pretty quiet person, because Kenneth Hagin used to say, the less you say, the less you have to repent for. So if I don't have anything to say, I don't have anything to say, because I don't want to say something stupid or something that's going to hurt you or something that's going to bring you down. So it's easier for me just to shut my mouth. And it's a lot of times it's more important to be quiet than it is to be right. Somebody should write that down. That's tweetable right there, and you can put that on Twitter. Go ahead. I don't even want credit for it. Because that's so true. How true is that? That it's more important to be nice or quiet than it is to be right. You don't have to be right in every argument and every discussion, and it's just like, okay, fine. And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's certain people on this planet who instigate by the things they say. They'll say something to you knowing, going crosswise what you believe, just to drag you into a discussion that you shouldn't be in anyway. Just saying. Just remember, is it true? Is it needful? Is it kind? My wife says that to me all the time. Is that kind? Can't you be kind? I'm this kind, all right? Just this kind I am, all right? Third thing in James chapter 3, if you want to turn over there, how do we get control of our words? How do we get control of this thing in our mouth, this flopping around thing? James here gives a pretty concise description of how bad it really is. And look, at this book was written a long time ago, and they were still having trouble with it. Why should it be surprising that we have trouble controlling our tongue? It's pretty incredible. He goes through this whole, starting in chapter 3, talking about leaders, and then he goes through all these verses about how the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. The tongue is, defiles the whole body, and one little word can start a huge forest fire. How many of us have been there, right? Shouldn't have said that. That's going to come back to get me, right? But look at that verse 9. He says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or image of God. That scripture alone should wake you up to go. People, God's creation, there's nothing he's more proud of than his creation. And yet we praise God with it 1 second and we curse his creation with it, made in his image, the next. That should be enough to wake you up and go, okay, I got to do something about what I'm saying, especially to my children and my spouse and people that I love. I would die. It amazes me how some people can praise God in a church service and then they don't even get to the car and they're screaming at their children. It's like, you don't have to. It's okay. You know, they're kids. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to knock stuff over. They're going to spill things. It's what they do. Grace. Impart grace to the hearer. Verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. It's amazing. Verse 8, he says, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's exciting. That's uplifting. Put that on your fridge. It's nothing can cause more damage than the words we speak. If we're going to be brand new people, if we're going to be people who are representing God, ambassadors on the planet, our words have to be different, have to speak life. We have to produce things because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's interesting to me how many times that we react and not respond to things and don't let those words go all the way to the back of our head before something rolls out of our mouth that really hurts. Because generally as people, the first thing we want to do when we're hurt is hurt right back. You know, and you look at Jesus when he was being tempted in the desert, he spoke the word. You look at him on trial in Pilate's court and he was silent. And in the most words he said, it is as you say. It is as you say. That's the golden lampstand for all of us right there. It is as you say, Lord. It is as you say. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, the preparation of the heart belongs to man. That's our job, to get our heart right, to not be led by our mind, will, and emotions, not to be controlled by our physical body. But it's our job to get our heart right. And then he says, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Let God answer out of our heart. Let God bring it up. He is our defender, our justice, our supply. And it's clear what God expects. Put good things in, good things out. Bad things in, bad things out. It's amazing. Our words are to be encouraging, uplifting, and comforting, and empowering. When we're brand new people, when we're born again, when we're producing life out of our body, everything changes, and it starts with our heart. I'll close with this. In Romans chapter 10, here's the power of your words. When they say life or death is in the power of your words, chapter 10 and verse 9, Paul says, and you've all heard this before because I would believe most of you are saved. He says that if you confess, speak with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You say it with your mouth that you believe the Lord Jesus and you go from eternal damnation to heaven just by the words that you say. How important is the words that you say? How important is it that you understand that you can be saved or you can, power of life and death is in the tongue? That's it right there. You are either going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven by the words that you produce with your mouth. How incredible is that to know that Jesus himself can be declared or denied with the words of your mouth? We're past just treating people bad now. We're into where your eternity lies. Because that spirit, the physical body, dies. The spirit part of the three that I'm talking about is the part that's going to be here forever. And it's either going north or south, depending by the words of your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. I can't do that. The church can't help you with that. That's a heart and mind and mouth issue. It starts right there. You want to be brand new? It starts with confessing the Lord Jesus. It's imperative to know that we are careful with what we say towards God's creation, yes. But if you want to be saved, if you want to believe that Jesus is, you save your own life. And then he says in verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's it right there. That's it in a nutshell. If you want to live and not die, you produce it with your mouth. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you feed your heart. You change your life by words you say and what your heart says. You edify one another, and it begins with discipline. There's a great book written years ago now called A Celebration of Discipline. Talks about all the disciplines of the Christian life. It's very hard to read. It's like you got to read a sentence and then read it again. It's like, man, that's just a bunch of big words in there. But it'll help you to understand fasting and prayer and worship. Every discipline in the Christian life, including words, is in that book to help you understand. Amen? Confession is imperative. Confess with your mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes for a second? I just want you to think for a second. This is a little, they call it internal meditation. We've all, and trust me, I am probably the biggest one who has said stupid things to people and regretted it later. I just want you to think for a second. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, what are you saying to me today? Where have I missed it with my mouth and my words? Where have I missed it, God? Help me to see where I've missed it. Because, Father, I want to impart grace to the hearer in everything I do. I want to edify people. I want to edify my children. I want to help them to be overcomers. I don't want to hinder them by my words anymore. So I want you just to ask God today, Father, help me to see where I've missed it. Help me, God. Help me to produce words of life out of my mouth. Help me to see where I've missed it. Father, I believe that every heart in this room today and anyone listening to my voice, Lord, has a genuine repentant heart today for the things they've said and the things that have come out of their mouth. And Father, as a whole body of Christ today, we repent in the name of Jesus. And we declare today, God, we will move forward from this place anew. We're going to move forward from this place with a fresh, brand new heart. And Father, we confess the Lord Jesus today. And we declare him Lord of our life. And we declare today, Lord, that we shall produce life. We shall feed our heart live things and produce a new life out of our mouth. Because we love you, Lord. So say these words with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess you as Lord today. I accept what you've done for me on the cross. and I accept you as my God today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now you've produced the words with your mouth. Now it's time to live it and begin to do it in this world, because we're not going anywhere for a while. Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing one more last worship song before we go today. And if you have a prayer concern, if you have a financial, physical, whatever, you know what? We never want you to leave this place with an unmet need. So if that's you today, just be bold and come forward. I'm going to be here. Michelle will be over there. And we're just going to pray. We just, you know what? The church is the body of Christ in action. And we just, you know, you can't leave here with an unmet need and expect God to meet it when we will add our faith to yours and then come into agreement and create it right here on the planet. You know, God has got so much for each one of us, and yet we're too, I don't even know what the word is, to ask him. So I encourage you, just as we're singing this last song, now that we're our minds are clear and our hearts are right, if you have a need today, just step forward, pray with me, pray with Michelle, it doesn't matter. Otherwise, just worship the Lord, seek him like we sang before, and just know, you know what, he's God. He's not scary, he's not mean, it's not a be afraid thing, it's just a do it thing. Amen? Let's worship.